Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and along with me tonight, my compadre in crime is Killer Frog Emeritus Wes Phelan. How you doing, Wes?
Sean, I'm hanging in there. Been a rough couple of days, but I'm doing okay. Last week of radiation, I'm excited about that. So hopefully Friday, I get to ring that bell.
Man, we are really proud of you about that.
Well, it hasn't been fun, but I still say I've got it easier than a lot of people in that room, so I'm doing okay.
Well, keep your spirits up.
Bad cold and everything, so I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you're a little stuffy. A lot of allergies going around. A lot of people developing sinus infections all of a sudden.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I've got a whopper right now.
Yeah, it's springtime in Texas.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I forgot to mention, it is episode 95 for May 22nd, 2018. I skipped to Wes because it's just the two of us tonight. WC is doing a Hall of Fame show or Hall of Fame duties, rather, excuse me.
Yeah.
Tonight, Shannon's got a previous engagement, and Ryan had to coach. So,
what is Ryan coach?
To be honest with you, I do not know. We're going to have to ask her that when she comes back on.
We're going to put her on the spot next time.
Yeah, I don't want to assume cheerleading or gymnastics. Maybe it was gymnastics. Maybe she, I don't know. I know she coached gymnastics at one point in time. I don't know if she continues to coach gymnastics. So
yeah, I don't know.
We'll probably get a text from her shortly if she's listening to us on the way back. So it's all good. Well, we got a talk tonight. We're kind of shooting from the hip. Tennis, want to congratulate tennis making it to the final 16. So good for them. I think this is the fourth straight year they've made it that far in the NCAA tournament. A lot of their individual players had some individual honors this week. So congratulations to tennis. And unfortunately, baseball got swept by the Horns in Austin at the worst possible time.
Yeah. That was a series we really needed to at least take two or three of.
Yeah.
But, our only hope now to get in the tournament is to win the Big 12 tourney. And, we're starting off with Texas Tech, and that's going to be a tough one. But, it's there for us to get. We took two or three of them before, so.
Well, you know what they say. The only thing left to do is to win the whole
thing. The old shooting match.
Got to do it.
Right. Got to do it. Hey, just hats off to our Australian audience. My wife's Uncle Graham and Aunt Corinne, I know they're watching. And so in their honor, I'm wearing a Western Bulldogs hat.
Western Bulldogs from
Australian
Virginia. Oh,
no.
Australia.
The funny story about that, that's my father-in-law is a Western Bulldogs fan, and he's big in it. The team used to be called Footscray, and, that was part of town in part of the suburb in Melbourne, and then they renamed them the Western Bulldogs. So I proudly keep along.
Rugby or is this soccer?
No, it's Australian rules football.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A little bit of a combination of rugby, a little bit of soccer. The football looks like a rugby ball. You can't throw it. You have to advance the ball by running it, and you have to be able to dribble it after you go 10 yards. So being an oblong ball like that, you can imagine it doesn't dribble. But these guys have got it down where they can throw it down and it comes right back. And the only passing you do is by foot. So they punt with the accuracy that our quarterbacks throw. It's pretty amazing to watch. And you've got 16 guys on each team. You've got 7 referees out there. Each team can have a runner coming out, bringing in plays from the bench or instruction from the bench. You've got trainers coming in and off, on and off the field, bringing water to the guys or Gatorade. And it's like a 3-ring circus out there. It's a blast to watch.
I was going
to
say, this sounds like, Sandlot rules.
It's fun. I mean, really, I enjoy going to the games. The Aussies really get into it. And one thing we need to teach them, they need to learn from us, is how to tailgate. Because as I'm walking through the parking lots prior to the game, and I'm saying, where are the parties? It's an integral part of American football, and it doesn't exist down there. So I think one of these days I'm just going to go over that, take some beer, open up the trunk. Here you go. Have at it, mates, and see if we can't get a party started. Maybe put a few shrimp in the Barbie or something like that. So anyway. So
take, we're going to rest the Bulldogs down there. Show them how to actually do
it. They'll love it. They'll love it. Yeah. There actually is a couple of barbecue places in Melbourne, and they do an incredible job. It's not like we get here, but it's for Australian barbecue. Not bad. not bad at all. But yeah, I joined the Western Bulldogs as I'm a club member now, because a few years ago I proudly told my father-in-law, "Hey, guess what? I joined Collingswood. Collingswood was their rival club for the Western Bulldogs." Well, I got one of these immediate, "You're out of the family" letters. You know, how dare you? So I resigned my membership in Collingswood and said, "Okay, can I come back in? Now I'm a Western Bulldog." So I was welcome back. So anyway, happy to be a Western Bulldog. And they won the grand finale a couple years ago. So,
well, hey, when you join the club, do you get a Dakota ring?
No, you get this little hat.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably as chaotic when it comes to the teams down there as it is for Premier League football in the UK. So
it's fun to watch. If you ever get a chance to watch it on television, we have a season subscription to watch all the AFL games now. So my wife insisted on us, and okay, I got it for you.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Well, back from Australia, from down under, let's talk a little bit about baseball. What do you think? I mean, we're going to start off with Tech in the tournament. The last time we played Tech, we did very good.
Yeah,
we did well. We're coming off of a sweep here. You got to admit that, you got to think that the team's kind of be down a little bit. The morale's got to be down a little bit. But how do you think we're going to do here?
Well, we got something. We have a goal clearly laying ahead of us. The carrot's out there. We have to reach up and grab it and take it and take control of the game. I mean, we took two or three of them before. Honestly, I think we could have done two or three against Texas, and they had that walk-off Friday night that it cost us. Otherwise, I thought we had the game pretty well in hand.
Yeah, two of those games were pretty close.
Yeah, and I still don't think Texas is all that great. But, you know, they beat us for the first time. They've owned us for, 5 or 6 years? So
that's about right. 5 years.
Yeah. 5 years or so. I think the first time we went to the College World Series, they got all mad at us because we did 2010. The dog pile. Dog pile on their feet. How dare we do something like that?
Yeah.
How dare we enjoy a victory? But, you know, it's theirs for we just got to reach up and do it. I mean, that's there. I mean, we can do it, but will we? I don't know. So, like Coach Swanzinkle said, it's like somebody drove a bus through a bullpen. You know, your star, your ace is out. Your big slugger's out. You got all these new people in these new positions. Some of the pitchers have risen up to the occasion, like Jake Eisler. Some haven't. And so we can do it. Just will we? That's the big question right now.
Yeah, I have a feeling this could go either way. I think this team's going to get up for Tech. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to give Tech everything we possibly can to stay in the winner's bracket. I love the format of the tournament because it's the same format that we have to go through in the regional. I like our chances starting off with Tech. If we can get past Tech, I think that does give us enough momentum, enough confidence to kind of see us through and possibly make it into the final. But it is going to be a pretty long road for this team to be able to make it back. Like you said, I mean, the injuries have just mounted this year, and it happens. Yeah, and it is a young team. They've gained a lot of really good experience. They've had some really good games against amazing, unfortunately, some games to teams that they probably shouldn't have. But overall, it's a winning season of Frog baseball, a season that we all knew was going to be a bit of a rebuilding year. And I don't know, these guys may still have enough, gas in the tank to surprise us. So,
well, they might. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, it's like Schlossnagel said, we have as many new players on the squad as we did returning players. And that's the first time we've ever had that. So, you play six starters, your catcher, your center fielder, right fielder, third base, second base, shortstop.
Yeah,
infield.
Infield.
And I guess Lodolo moved up into one of the weekend starting roles, but we've got other guys out there. I'm still not sure we've ever settled on a Tuesday night starter, although I think Russell Smith has kind of stepped into that role a little bit.
Yeah, we never did. I mean, we were never consistent in that starting role all season long.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, he's got some intriguing players coming in next year. Once again, we're reaching out and getting some of the better players from around the country. We've got a guy named Alex Thomas who's coming in from Chicago. He's an outfielder. A bunch of Texas guys. One name that may sound familiar to everybody is Mateo Gill, who is Benji Gill's son. Benji played for the Rangers for a while back, and I think another couple other major league teams. He's a shortstop, 6'2", 190 pounds, out of Keller. Presumably a pretty darn good player. We've also got Bryson Jackson coming in, who played football and baseball. He's from Humble down in the Houston area. He's supposed to be just a stick of dynamite out there in the field. A player that I read a little bit about from Minnesota, Nicholas, and I'm probably messing up his name, Juer. He's a catcher, 5'8", 175 pounds, but apparently has a cannon arm and a good bat. So, we'll see. I mean, he's got some players out there coming in. You know, Schloss is always going to have good arms on that team. And he likes tall pitchers, so he got a guy 6'5", 220 out of Magnolia coming in. And let's see what else we got here. A 6'6", 230 from right here in sunny Georgetown, Texas. Wesley Gafford. Hey, I need to go check this kid out. I actually know where the high school is now. So, I think he's got some players coming in. I don't know what at the JUCO level, what he's brought in, but he'll probably bring in a JUCO or two to fill in. But, you know, I've only seen one game this year against Baylor, so I really don't have an idea of what a lot of the guys can do. But I think the elements are there to make a run, and certainly the elements are there with a little bit of experience to come back next year and have the kind of year we're used to having.
I agree. I hate looking forward to next year because, you know, obviously we still have the tournament to go through. And I agree with you, though, that there's enough pieces here, and they've shown us, like I said before, in more than a handful of games this year.
Right.
And when these guys come together and they click, you know, they can beat anybody.
They can make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's that prototypical kind of youthful team that they have right now, where it's like they're still trying to figure things out. They're still trying to figure out how they kind of fit in with each other. But when it clicks, it's great. And, you know, the only thing that I'm really worried about is coming off, you know, well, not coming off. One thing I'm worried about is how they come off of this sweep by the Longhorns. If they can just move that off to the side, not worry about it, come into this tournament, focus on, you know, doing the tech what they did in Lubbock.
Sure.
You know, they, like I said, they could surprise us. They could surprise a lot of people.
I hope they do. And they need to, you know, doing some of the games they've done, beating Tech 2 out of 3. That should show them right there that they've got what it takes. They need to put Baylor behind them. Certainly need to put Texas behind them. Baylor should never happen. Baylor's not that good. But, you know, it happened. So we have to face it and move on.
Yeah, I think looking back, the Baylor series and, of course, this final series against Texas were probably the two areas that I know this team would like to have back again. But, you know what, like I said, they need to put it behind them, and they've got another shot.
Right.
You know, they're not out of this thing yet. There's still more baseball to play. There's still more time to have fun. And go out there and win the freaking Big 12.
And then get yourself into the tournament.
Yeah, get yourself in the tournament. Who knows what happens after that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, remember Fresno State a few years ago when they won the College World Series? They were nothing. I mean, they came out of nowhere. They won the Mountain West Conference tournament at the time, or whatever league they were in, and then went on to win the whole thing. So it can happen. I mean, you get
a phone call.
Got a phone call
in the middle of the podcast.
Things like that can happen. You just need to catch it. Luckily, and get a hot streak going. Rise up and see what happens. But they can. They're capable of doing it. We just need to get them to believe that and put the season behind them. And the new season starts tomorrow or next day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's. If there's any coach who can get them prepared for that, it's Schloss. So
absolutely.
I have no doubt that they're going to be ready to play.
The most positive man in the world.
Yeah,
he can do it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Don't know to play. It's frustrating watching this team because of the youthfulness of this team and how they kind of go back and forth a little bit as far as how they play. But they have all the pieces to do this.
Absolutely.
To make it into the postseason. So they just got to, you know, just got to earn it, which is fine. So, But good luck to them starting that tournament this week. So it'll be fun to watch in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it will be. I wish I could go up there, but I got a couple appointments here the rest of the week, so I got to take care of that.
Brickyard can wait.
Brickyard can wait. Next season.
Absolutely.
Next season.
Yeah, you got to ring that bell, man.
I'm ringing the bell Friday. You watch. I'm going to have a video of it.
Next week, I'm going to play that 80s song, right? Ring My Bell, or maybe it's 70s.
Ring My Bell. There you go.
Showing my age there. The only other thing I have on my list, unless there's something else I'm forgetting here, Wes, we had a little bit of a dust up between the Frogs Wire and Colby Listenbee this week. I don't know if you got a chance to see what had happened or not.
Yes, I did.
And for those of you who haven't gone over to the Frog Wire or Frogs Wire, excuse me, just go over there. It's frogswire.com. There's plural. It's an S there. And the Beer Bottle Quarterbacks last week had right after Colby Listenbee was cut by the Colts, had posted an article titled "The Verdict Is In: Colby Listenbee Is Officially Made of Glass." Now, on the surface, that sounds pretty harsh. Unless you kind of have been following the Beer Bottle Quarterbacks, and we had them on this program a couple weeks ago, they love satire in the best possible way as far as how satire should be done. Correct. And if you read their article, they poke fun at Colby Listenbee from everything from him being dropped by the Colts to a tweet he did about, you know, how bad the kids' animated series Paw Patrol happens to be. So kind of give you an idea as far as the range that this article went in. But Colby Listenbee decided that he had had enough and he was going to respond to the article that was posted on the Frogs Wire. And
did he ever.
And let me read this tweet. It says, LMAO, which if you're not up on internet lingo, that's laughing my
ass off.
There you go. It's an internet show. We can say it. To all players that currently playing at TCU, watch how these fans are they fake. There needs to be some punctuation there, but I'll continue. 7-6, 4-12 seasons, stadium was empty. 2014, they praise you, put you on a pedestal for winning. 3 years later, they claim you was never good enough in the first place. And he ends with a big F you.
So
that was interesting. Now, he did shortly thereafter delete his tweet, but the internet is forever, and we have a screenshot of the tweet up on the Frogs Wire, so definitely go back and check that.
Too late, because you've already thrown gas on the fire.
Well, what do you think about this, Wes? You think, A, was this a what do you think of his response, and B, do you think it was a wise thing for him to do in the meeting?
No, and I'm sure his lawyers went, Colby, what are you doing? You know, so, and I'm switching hats. I'm putting on my Ricky Ponting for you Australians, my Ricky Ponting cricket hat. Okay, so
what are you doing a tour of Australia tonight? What is that?
Hey, our only fans are in Australia, so I'm playing to them. You know, so. Fans,
yeah. All right, back to the amazing Colby Listenbee.
Yeah, you know what? He's immature. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
He could have taken a high road. He chose not to. And I thought our guy's response to him was pretty good. I mean, they kind of took a high road. I mean, satire is meant to be slightly abrasive and without inflicting deep wounds.
Right.
And a lot of people say, well, it's not funny. Well, it's, you know, it may be not everything on The Onion, which is all satire, is funny. But, you know, it serves a purpose. It's abrasive. It doesn't inflict deep wounds. It gets the message across. And that's what our guys did. Humor's up to you, whether you see it or not. That's entirely at the discretion of the reader. But Colby, I think he's just, you know, he's probably better off just shutting up and taking the high road in some of these things. He'd do himself a lot better, more good if he did. But that being said, he didn't. And he threw gas on the fire when it didn't need to be done. So anyway. It'll be interesting to see what plays out on this. I don't think he's going to get anything. I think it's kind of migrating towards a medical malpractice suit, if anything, and that's going to be tough to prove.
Oh, it's going to be very tough to prove. Yeah. I don't think you can pin anything on the coaching staff for sure. And like we talked about when this thing first hit, even if even if there was something there that was in any way, shape, or form taking on the form of, you know, smoke, so to speak.
Right.
You know, there's so many programs in this country that deal with injured players in a way that, I'll be honest with you, from what I've heard from stories from other players, which I will not name here because they've spoken us in confidence. Some of the ways some of these other programs deal with it, if those details came out, would make Colby Listenbee's allegations look tame by comparison.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of crazy, but he did, you know, he did tweet last thing this whole came up, and he got blasted on Twitter after he, yeah, after he lit that up. But he said his final parting piece was, "We gone, get the last laugh, believe that."
Whatever that means.
Well, yeah, he is a bachelor. So, I mean,
yeah, I guess. But yeah, it's, I don't know. He needs to stay off Twitter.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people who need to stay off Twitter, but, yeah, it's, I don't know what to say about this. It just, it's turning into a giant soap opera.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? The bottom line is, I mean, you know, he goes to his comment, but they tell you, you're no good. Well, Colby, you just got cut by two pro teams. I mean, the Colts being the last one. Maybe you're just not pro material. I mean, being fast is not good enough. You got to be run your routes properly. There's a lot of learning you got to do. He was not the showcase.
Go back and listen to any of the shows that we did.
Right.
During that time period, you know, during 2014, 2015, when all of this was happening. Even the times when he says we as fans were praising him, go back and listen to what we were saying about Colby Listenbee back in 2014.
Yeah.
Even back then, we were worried that he was a one-trick pony. You know, hey, go deep. Okay. And okay. Yeah. We're glad he's there. You know, he's glad he's able to go deep, and he's that deep guy. But he was also one of those guys that we had issues with when it came to running routes, yeah, and being able to deal with that. So, I mean, it's, you know, Colby can believe his own hype if he wants to, that every single fan was just putting him up on a pedestal in 2014. But, you know, it was the team that was put up on the pedestal in 2014, not Colby Listenbee.
Absolutely. And the key receiver in that whole group is Josh Doctson anyway.
Yes.
I find it intriguing that he's suing Rusty Burns, a receiver coach.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's part of the suit.
He's part now, of the suit now.
So what are you blaming him for? I mean,
not teaching him how to run routes.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. But Josh Doctson seemed to learn him.
Well, see, and that's the weird thing. I mean, you go back and you take a look at that team. When it came to wide receivers, Listenbee was probably not the top three receivers on that, yeah, on that squad. When it came down to just pure talent as a receiver, he was great running that go route.
Oh, but, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, outside of that, I mean, it was, you know, it was the Trayvon Boykin and Josh Doctson show. Slanina. Yep. I mean, you just go back and forth with some of the other, you know, really good receivers that we had that, you know, were in the slot. I mean, it wasn't just Colby Listenbee. But again, I mean, if he wants to think that everybody was putting him up on a pedestal in 2014, that's, you know.
Well, let him think that. I mean, it gives him some comfort at night. That's fine. But, you know, Josh Doctson wanted that ball.
Yeah.
If you threw it in this direction, he'd go up and get it. And I didn't see that from Colby Listenbee. He would get whatever separation he could because of his speed. And then if he didn't catch it, that was it. And so, you know, I don't know. Does he have the talent to be in the pros? I don't know. He's fast. I wish I had that kind of speed.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm afraid you could time me with a calendar, not a stopwatch these days. So,
well, and I think that's part of his lawsuit is that the injury that he sustained, the supposed treatment that he received by the medical staff, and then, you know, by association, I guess the coaching staff as well, rushed him back to a point where he wasn't ready and caused him further injury or further problems that have hindered him from reaching his full potential in the NFL. But, you know, again, that you could say that about, you know, the vast majority of players that come out of college to try to make it, right, in the NFL. I mean, there are a lot of players that are drafted in the first round that, sure, get injured. I mean, look at, you know, okay, here's a great example. RG3.
Yep.
I mean, talk about a guy, oh, yeah, made of glass. I mean, here's a guy that the Washington Redskins, who unfortunately also picked up Josh Doctson, banked their entire franchise on. And, you know, he was injured several times during college, had a lot of problems coming out of college. Yeah. And obviously it followed him all the way into the NFL. It was the same exact problem. But I guarantee you, the injuries he suffered at Baylor and the treatment he got at Baylor and the way that they wanted him back on that field as quickly as possible is heads above whatever allegations that Kobe Listonby is currently leveling at TCU. I guarantee you. And I think it's one of the bigger issues that I have with this whole soap opera is the way that, you know, Real Sports HBO is currently doing a special on him, how they're covering it. They're making this out to be like, this is unthinkable that a player would possibly be treated this way. And they're taking everything that he says at face value while giving very little to no time for TCU to give any sort of rebuttal, or they're not even going out and doing their own freaking research, seeing A, is this typical? B, is this atypical? C, if this is this something that maybe there's something here that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to his particular story? They're not doing any reporting. All they're doing is just telling a narrative. They're telling
it's a narrative, and they're not doing any investigation or reporting. I mean, basically what they have right now is a coach is mean to me type of story. And that takes you back to Kansas and Mark Mangino. You remember when he got fired because he was mean to a player? And then Mike Leach at Texas Tech because he, you know, what was it? Craig James' son.
Yeah.
You know.
Locked in the dark room.
Yeah, he was wearing sunglasses at practice, and he supposedly had a concussion. He said, they told me to wear sunglasses because I can't be in sunlight. And he said, okay, well, just go sit in the electrical outlet room there. That's a good dark. That's, you know, and think of Jimmy Johnson telling that one player when he was a head coach at Cowboys, what's your problem? I've got asthma. Then go over there to the asthma field. You remember that? I mean, this is an asthma field. And I know personally one of the team doctors at TCU, and if the player's hurt, they're not putting them out there.
No,
that's just the thing. I mean, there's a hierarchy there: doctor, trainer, coach, and then players at the bottom of it. Most players say, "Yeah, I'm ready to go, coach," but the doctors have the final call on it. And most players will say, "I'm ready to go," and the doctors sometimes have to hold them back or take their helmets away so they don't go out there.
Well, that's the part that baffles me. I mean, even when I played, I mean, every single time you had a player that was hurt, they wanted to get back on the field more often than not before they were even ready to go back on the field, medically speaking.
Absolutely.
And you and I both know, I mean, before this whole, concussion era kind of blew up, there were plenty of players that went back on the field before they were ready to go back on the field. And changed.
You remember Shannon saying a few weeks back or a couple of months ago, by today's standards, he had a concussion pretty much every week.
Yeah.
You know, playing linebacker and being a head knocker that he was.
And that's no excuse, by the way. I mean, we're not trying to excuse the fact that, these players should be going back in. They should get tougher. All I'm saying is that there was a huge change. There was a huge shift in how medical injuries were treated on college campuses. And it didn't just start with concussions. It also started with a couple of unfortunate fatalities that happened during practices. And so if you go back and you take a look at what he is claiming in that era of football, which we're only 4 years removed from, or 3 years in this case, because he's claiming this is the 2015 season, it doesn't add up. It smells fishy. Right. And yeah, you know what? If everything he alleges is absolutely 100% correct, something is terribly wrong with the medical staff at TCU. But is anybody who's listening to this podcast right now honestly believe that TCU's medical staff was that negligent?
Anyway. No, there's no way.
There's no way. There's no way.
And one thing I think is intriguing if they focused on initially, and I don't know if it's moved away from that, back at TCU did not have a full-time position on staff. Well, not that many schools. Maybe Ohio State does, maybe Texas.
Not a whole lot did, but we had full-time medical staff that they can go to.
Well, they were. I can tell you, they're in every practice, and they anytime during the day, they –
players can go there. Now, we did have a full-time position at one time. I don't think they retained him, or he may have moved on to private practice or something, but...
Well, take a look at how close TCU is to the entire medical district in Fort Worth.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's the problem I have, because I've heard this ballied around on the internet too. You know, TCU didn't really have a full-time medical staff. Well, if you don't know anything about Fort Worth, you don't know anything about TCU and where the area that it's located in, or how that was actually handled medically speaking, all you're going on is you're hearing one little tidbit, one little fact, and you're making an assumption based on your perception of your particular school, which may be like, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, you know, like West Virginia. Maybe they have to chairlift somebody, you know, 100 miles somewhere to get to a proper trauma center. Whereas we've got, you know, a handful of them right within, you know, walking distance of campus, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's silly.
At that time, our medical staff was at Texas Bone and Joint, or as I call them, Texas Nut and Bolt Clinic, but they're a 10-minute drive and drive away from the TCU campus. Dr. Joe Milne, Dr. Brotherton, Will Lowe did my hand surgery. So I've been cut on by all those guys. And it's a short drive away, and it's just, 10 minutes away. And if Kobe can't get there himself, I'm sure a trainer can drive him. But somebody, you know, they have physical therapy staff there. He's got a full training staff at TCU. You know, I'm sure the care he got was superb. And I think any player would tell you that there's no problem with the training staff there and the medical staff. They're all highly qualified, board certified guys. And it's intriguing. It's interesting, and it's frustrating to read these things that they just pushed him back out there. I don't believe it.
I don't either. And my point about Kobe not being the top wide receiver that year goes back to the other injuries that was sustained on this team during that season. There were injuries, including to Trayvon and to Doxson, that, no offense, when it comes to, I mean, again, yep. Kobe, I mean, you just Paw Patrol on me, man. I'm going to have to take you out on that. But, I mean, you weren't the top player of the team in 2015, and there were injuries to players that were far more valuable to the overall team effort than yours. And I don't hear them with the same allegations, and they're not part of your lawsuit. So if they weren't treated the same way that you were, you know, my question, it kind of goes back to that old adage, you know, if you think everybody around you is an asshole, well, maybe you ought to stop and think that it's not everybody that's around you that's an asshole.
That's a line from a movie, isn't it? I think.
You get what I mean? There was.
Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry, did I freeze up there?
No. I remember. I just thought that was a line from a movie. I was trying to remember. Oh, wait. You know what? That's from Justified.
I've never seen it.
Oh, okay. That's where it's from. It's Justified.
Great. So I apologize. Justified ripped me off.
No, that's what Justified ripped you off. You coined it originally, and then Justified came along and stole it from you. But it's a great line.
Something my dad told me a long time ago. So, but anyway, so it's interesting. If you haven't read the brouhaha over at the Frogs Wire, go ahead and go check them out. Frogswire.com. It's still on the front page, and go ahead and check that out. It's fun to read. Like I said, the first one to start off with is the verdict is in. Kobe Listonbee is officially made of glass. And then the follow-up to that is the Kobe Listonbee response to frogswire.com. Both of those have been published by the Beer Bottle Quarterback, so go ahead and check them out. They're both really, really good articles. And like you said, it's satire. You know, have fun.
Satire. They take the high road. And, you know, Kobe, I mean, come on. Grow a set here, pal. You're just, you know, I know you're under pressure.
We're getting rather salty tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
Without Ryan and WC or Shannon around,
no moderators tonight.
Yeah. But, speaking of which, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a Samuel Adams
Boston Lager.
Yeah.
Going with the whole Founders thing, I know it looks like it's a Budweiser bottle. So before you judge me. This is the Freedom Reserve. This is that special release that they did with
the George Washington beer.
George Washington beer. So if you hadn't heard about this, I don't know if you have you heard about this recipe.
I think you told me a little bit about it. That's that's George Washington's personal recipe, or one he tried to make.
In one of his diaries, they found a shorthand recipe for beer. And it's kind of funny to listen to this thing. And it starts off, it says, I got it right here. It says, Now, this is George Washington writing in one of his war diaries. So, you know, you got to, right. you know, give him a little sure. bit of leeway. The fact that, you know, I don't know what he was going through when he wrote this. This is interesting. He thought about it and wrote it down, but it says, take a large sifter full of bran hops to your taste. Boil these 3 hours and strain out 30 gallons into a cooler. Put in 3 gallons of molasses while the beer is scalding hot, or rather draw the molasses into the cooler and strain the beer while boiling hot.
What did he use for a cooler back then?
I don't know. It's an interesting thought though. It had to be like some sort of a chiller of some kind. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not up on my old, you know, ye old brewing equipment when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm not sure what they use as a chiller, but
that might be a good Google exercise. What did they use for a cooler back in 1776?
Yeah. And he finishes up saying about the let it stand till it's about blood warm. And then put your yeast in it. And blood warm is about the right, I mean, if you think about it, about 100 degrees. Yeah, about 9,800 degrees is about what you want for yeast anyway.
Okay.
And if the weather is very cold, cover it with a blanket, let it work for 24 hours, and then put it in the cask and leave the bung open until it's almost done working. And then this is my favorite part of this. It says, bottle it that day week it was brewed. So I'm not quite sure what he means by that, but... You know, it's just an interesting little recipe.
Hey, he's a father of our country.
He is. I'll have to admit, you know, as much as I, you know, he is the father of our country. I think Sam Adams probably wins this particular round, but it's not a bad beer. It certainly doesn't, it's not your typical Budweiser, but they do use the same hops and barley that Budweiser uses. So it has that Budweiser kind of note to it. Pretty much house flavor. Yeah. But I mean, it's interesting to try, and they are donating proceeds to vets. So if you find it, especially over the 4th of July holiday, it's a good story. It comes in a cool little bottle. And like I said, you can support your vets. So, hey,
George Washington, Samuel Adams, this one's for you.
There you go. I already finished mine, but there you go.
Anyway, so we got a tennis team that went to the final 16 this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once again,
four times in a row.
We're going to win it one of these days.
Yeah, we will.
And I think he's got some talent coming in. He's got some seniors. Rybakov's going to be back. And then he's losing some people, but he's got some freshmen in there. And I think he's got I think I read earlier this year that he's got a fairly highly ranked junior coming in that should fill in for anybody that we're losing via graduation. So I think – Yeah, the future's bright. Roditi's a great guy. He's done a great job maintaining what Tut Bartson started years ago. And it's going to be fun to watch. I just wish I was up there now, be able to go to a tennis match, because I heard they got a lot of fun with the free food, the open bars. And
Yeah, the open bar was fun.
And they get kind of raucous now. The old days of golf claps and polite clapping at tennis is over.
Yeah, thank goodness.
You go there and you raise hell now, drink beer and eat pizza. So.
You know, why not? Why not? Why not? I mean, goodness gracious.
Fans get into it, sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a country club sport anymore. And I guess it is in a way, but not a TCU. It's a full-blown knockdown, drag them out, you know, a fan sport now. So it's great. And the beer at the baseball game, gosh, what could be better?
Yep. Times there are changing at TCU.
Times they are changing.
It is good. Speaking of change, did you reserve your East Side suite yet, Wes?
I have not done that yet. I'm still looking for, what, the 20?
I think the deadline is this week to lock in your pricing. So if you haven't done that yet, you may want to go ahead and jump on that.
Yeah. If anybody's got an extra, what is it, a couple of million now to do that?
Is it a couple of million? I don't know.
I have no idea. You know, that's the price. I get press passes like you do. So I sit up and drink free water up there and Gatorade and those gritty hamburgers they serve.
Yeah. It's all good. I'm sure they're going to be gorgeous and they should provide some shade for the East Side. So that'll
be nice. it'll be, TC's going to do it right. There's no question about
that. And, definitely.
It'll be nice and it's good. I mean, they rather increase the size of the seating, they just went for what people want, which is more amenities and more luxuries, and they're willing to pay for it. So that's what they base their whole decision on.
Yeah, what we talked about a couple weeks ago, I don't think we need to increase the number of seats we've got in the stadium. I don't think we need to increase the capacity. I think we've got just the right capacity for what we need right now. And I think we just need to focus on getting that filled up.
We've already shown that in a big game, we can get 55,000 people in there.
Oh, yeah. Plus standing room.
So, you know, it's doable. And that 55,000 Horned Frogs would be a pretty awesome sight in there.
Well, you know, again, though, you are talking about it's a small school. And yes, yep. We'd love to have 55,000 Frog fans all show up at once in Fort Worth for a game. But, you know, right now I'm perfectly happy with the fact that we've got, 35,000, 40,000 TCU fans that come consistently. And again, I mean, go back, I don't want to revisit the whole Kobe Listenbee thing, but one of the points that he was making is that, you can't trust these fans because they don't show up for games. Well, it's not really the Frog fans who aren't showing up for games. I mean, it's the visiting fans that don't show up. I mean, unless we're playing Texas or Oklahoma.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, most of the time. And we all thought that was a problem that was behind us when we moved away from the Mountain West, because, of course, the Mountain West teams never traveled at all, period.
No.
And so, I mean, we thought, hey, the days are finally behind us. We're going to have strong, visiting team attendance now at TCU. And no. Visiting teams don't show up.
Even going back to the Utah game, 10 years ago when they were ranked number 5, we were ranked number 8.
Yeah,
we still had number. That was a 55,000, standing room only crowd.
Yep.
And we hammered them. And that showed us that we could get the people in the stands. And I think our season ticket base now is up around 35,000.
Yep.
In fact, I remember Del Conte telling me once that their goal before they did anything modification wise to the stadium was reach a season ticket benchmark of 35,000, which I think they've probably done. And surpass that. So now it's time to move into the next level. And I don't know what their goal is, maybe 40,000, but whatever it is, the more Horned Frogs, the more purple we put in those stands and the less orange or red or whatever color, all the better. We have to guarantee them 2,500 seats, I think, per conference rule.
Yes.
But if that's all they get, that's fine with me. I'd rather be more purple in those stands than any other color.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
That's what
I mean, you and I both know. I mean, back in the 80s and the 90s, just to get 15,000 in the stands was a big deal.
Yeah.
And, to go from where we were 2 decades ago to where we are now, even with the T-shirt fans, and of course, again, we're the smallest school in the Big 12. So, I mean, when you take a look at the demographics overall, what TCU is doing attendance-wise is pretty remarkable.
It is remarkable. Yeah. I remember when Eric Hyman came in as athletic director 20 years ago, I guess. And
they did a study
because we used to always say, boy, when Texas and A&M and all those guys played here, we packed the house. Well, they went back and did all these studies. Not really. We didn't. I mean, there were more Texas and A&M, Texas or A&M or Arkansas fans here than TCU fans, but they weren't sellouts. And we didn't have many sellouts in that period. And then after we hit that bad spell in the 70s, there, 16,000, 20,000 fans, that was it. They're all hardcore TCU people for the most part, but that's a terrible fan base. So it took a while to get back up to where we are now, but we've done it. And I think if we had the room in the stadium, we could go a little higher. But I think I agree with their decision about going in with more amenities and more fan-friendly things than just more seats. And that's a decision they made, and I agree with it. Not that my opinion counts anything, but because I'm not buying a suite, but maybe I will tomorrow. You never know. I win the lottery. Hey.
Bring that bell to a whole new life, man.
There you go.
Word, man. Why not?
But, I think that they've done what they need to do, and they're doing it right. And, the fans are there, and more will come. I don't care what – I don't know what Kobe Listenbee looked at when he looked up in the stands, but he wasn't seeing what I'm seeing.
It's probably that one Kansas game.
Could have been.
Yeah. That Stephon pitcher. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, just Google Kansas TCU attendance. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Not going to rehash that little – brouhaha,
but anyway. that's not even a wide shot. That's a narrow shot of the stands. It was a real hot game, or was it a rainy game, or something like that. It wasn't.
It was a very selectively timed shot too.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, at a time where it was like 110 degrees outside, and there was absolutely no shade, and everybody was out of water, and
yeah,
people were seeking shelter as quickly as possible. So,
oh God, you implying the Star Telegram actually do something sensationalistic and not not tell the truth on anything?
I don't know anything about the truthfulness of it. I'm just saying it was selectively edited.
We'll
just
put it that way. We'll go with that.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
All right. Well, with that, I think it's going to be a short podcast tonight, but that's fine.
That's fine.
Anything else you want to go over, Wes?
We're closing in on number 100 here. We hope to have a special guest.
Yeah, we got five more episodes.
Yeah, we're supposed to have a special guest. Hopefully, I can't let a cat out of a bag because I don't have a cat in the bag yet, but we shot for Gary Patterson. He was unavailable at that time, so we're working down the list, and you can probably guess who my next one's going to be. Haven't heard from him yet, but we're going to have somebody. We may have a couple. Number 100 will be celebrated in a big way here.
Yep, absolutely.
We will have somebody here for us.
So speaking of special guests, Barrel Brewing's got a special guest coming up, don't they?
Yes, they do. July 27th. Andrew Sullivan, our own Snowsteed Drew.
Say his name either.
Yep. he'll be playing at Barrel Brewing in Salado. And we'd love for everyone. I know it's a little bit of a hike from Fort Worth, but the brewery is great. The beer is very good. The atmosphere is fantastic. And Andrew is off the charts. You've heard him sing the national anthem, some other things he did, some of the house parties he does. He's well worth the drive. And the beer, I can personally attest, is really good. So, and I'm really happy because I wrote those guys a letter, said, you need to look at Andrew Sullivan. My God, they did, and they booked him. Somebody actually listened to what I had to say for once in my life. So I'm his agent. So maybe I get a free beer. I don't know. I don't care. I'd love the house to be packed with killer frogs. So y'all come out if you can.
Yeah. Well, what date is that again?
July 27th.
July 27th.
That's right.
I may unfortunately be in San Francisco that day. So
Shame on you.
You just FaceTime me while we're there, and you just live broadcast it, and we'll be
okay. Good. We can do that.
We'll be good.
Maybe we'll do a podcast live from Barrel Brewing.
That'll work. Yeah.
It's if you go to Salado, and ain't hard to find because Salado's is Uncle Graham and Aunt Kareem will tell you it's a pretty small town. So
yeah, blink and you'll miss it.
We put them in a log cabin when they're here last summer to visit us. So they got to stay in a log cabin there. It was kind of fun. But they had to go outside to the bathroom. It didn't have a bathroom in the cabin.
Yeah, an outhouse. So they got all the amenities.
But it was air conditioned.
Now, air conditioned outhouse or air conditioned
yeah,
log cabin?
Yeah. Both.
Both? Okay, well, that's good.
We introduced them to chicken fried steak. We introduced them to barbecue. And Cracker Barrel. So they came away happy and well fed. So, and Bucky's. I took them to Bucky's.
Man, they got the whole tour, didn't they?
And my wife said, oh, you're not going to Bucky's. Or I said, hell yeah, I'm going to Bucky's. They got to see this.
That's hilarious. Did they buy a shirt?
I think they bought some Bucky nuggets. I don't remember. Yeah. But.
That's a topic for another show altogether.
There you go. There, button.
All right. Now, I think with that, I think we'll close it out for the night. Want to thank everybody who's listening to us out there. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And of course, you can follow us at killerfrogs.com. And of course, you can always read the latest frog news on frogswire.com. We're on social media on Twitter and Instagram at killer_frog and Facebook and YouTube. You can find us at killerfrogs.com. So the underscore is on Twitter and Instagram. The rest of it's just Killer Frogs. And with that, I think we've come to the end. Wes, ready for
this? Let's
do it. Let's get your frogs up.
Go frogs.
Go frogs.
All righty. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So when do you ring that bell again? On this Friday or next?
Friday. Yeah. Friday, yeah. I go in there at 9:00, get my radiation. I'll be up by 9:15. And by 9:16, I'll be walking down the hall ringing the bell. So. And I've got, I'm going to take my camera with me, and I think I have the girl there recorded.
Sweet.
I've got a big list of people to thank. I got a big team working here for me. So, you know, everybody at Texas Oncology and the doctors and the surgeon and all the Killer Frogs Nation, the TCU people. So, you know, I'll be thanking all of them. It'll be, I hope I remember everybody. I don't want to leave anybody out, but yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm tired. This wears you out. So,
Do you text me that video the minute you guys are done?
You got it. You got it, my friend.